Just to say a few words about the fourth aliyah of Parsha Shmos, where we find a hugely consequential interaction between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the burning bush. And the aliyah begins, HaMoshe HaYeroa Eszon Yisroel Chosno Kohen Midshan. Here we know that all great Jewish leaders start as shepherds and reminded that this is what Moshe was doing. Vayinhag es hatzon achar hamidbar v'yavo el har ha'elokim chareva. And he leads the flock into the desert, and he comes to Chorev. And Rav Shon Shimon Fal Hirsch comments here that this is the beginning of the redemptive process, and it happens here at Chorev in order to emphasize, as we'll see throughout, that the purpose is the receiving of the Torah. Vayera malach Hashem elav balabas eish mitoch hasna vayar v'hine hasna bo'er ba'ish v'hasna inenu ukal. And here an angel of the Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to him in the flame of a fire that's in the middle of the bush, and he looked and he saw that the bush was not being consumed by the fire. Shamshon Rafael Hirsch comments on this as well, that here we see the fire is specifically from the middle of the bush. So the imagery is not that the Jews are going to survive the exile. That would be conveyed if they were in the middle of a fire from the outside and they were surviving, but the fire is from the inside to represent that the Torah has the power. The function of the Torah is to seek to penetrate and to refine and to warm and to revive. And that God's appearance within the bush makes this announcement that even the humblest place is not too lowly to become an abode of the divine presence. This is consistent with what the Medrash Nishmos Rabbi says, that the message of the bush is Ein makom pani b'lo shchina, that even a bush, even this lowly kind of plant, is able to be a home for the Shechina. Ibn Ezra quotes a view that the Pasuk in Bezos HaBracha, Ritzon Shoch Nisna, that refers to the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that dwells within the Sna. He asks on that view, how could it be? That's representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu here. It's just this one moment in time. This is not something that represents some kind of permanent residence. And Simcha Zisselbroi, in the Sefer Sonderach, so he notes that the whole point is that this fire that was in the bush is meant to represent the internal light from creation that animates everything, that makes everything work, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is able to perceive and is able to come to understand at that moment. So therefore the Sna is representational. It's not to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always in the Sna, but that shows he's everywhere, and that's a big part of what Moshe is able to appreciate. And the idea that that it's not consumed, and the Medrash tells us that this is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying Ani Shutof Bitzaron, that I am their partner even within their suffering. And fresh comments here as well, that even surrounded by thorns, God is with us and helps us to make it through and helps us to survive. So his reaction to this, Yomer Moshe Surana Veres Amara Hagadol Hazeh Madua Lo Yivar Hasna. So here, this is an idea that's been emphasized, that a part of why Moshe was who he was is because he had that ability to pay attention and to notice, and that's a part of the imagery of this burning bush, that it's only able to be appreciated as miraculous if you look at it for a little while, because to appreciate that it's not consuming the bush, you have to be able to stop and to watch. And that attention that Moshe had, that's a big part of it, and specifically then tells us that he's now going to turn and look more. And the Medrash has different interpretations of what that means. What did he have to do in order to turn and to look and to see more? And the Sonderach comments about this in the same idea, that the godless of anyone comes from always wanting to do more and always wanting to have more understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we see this Midah in Moshe, that he sees this unusual thing and he pays attention. And he looks and he realizes that this is something that he should try to understand. And that's perhaps also reflected in the next pasuk. So when the pasuk tells us, "Vayar Hashem Sar Leros, Vayikra Elav Elokim Mitoch Hasna, Vayomer Moshe Moshe, Vayomer Hineni," so God sees that he's trying to look, and he calls to him Moshe Moshe. And the Midrash has a comment here that we have a few times in Tanakh where somebody's name is repeated, Avram, Yaakov, Avram, Avram, Yaakov, Yaakov, Shmuel, Shmuel. Usually there's a psik in between the two names, and here there's no psik. And Shechter often comments on this, that it's to highlight the fact that for most people, there's a somewhat of a distance between who they could be, the potential, and the actual. And Moshe Rabbeinu became a fully realized person, so there's no psik, there's no interruption between the potential Moshe and the actual Moshe. And this flows from this point that if he's never satisfied with where he's at, but he's always looking to grow more, he's always looking to try to understand better, so then we could see how that's something that is able to represent godless and to be a vehicle for godless. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, "Vayomer al tikrav halom, shal na'alecha mi'al reglecha," don't come so close, "but take your shoes off, ki amokom ha'asher ata omer olav, admas kaideshu," that this place where you are standing on, this is holy ground. And here, this is an idea that there's a couple of different points here. This idea of him being told to take off his shoes. So the Gemara Masech Zvachim had Zvachim Adav Kuvbeiz Meralov as somewhat of a mysterious comment that Bikesh Moshe Malchus, that Moshe desired the role of being a king, and that's somehow reflected here. So how do you see that? I think Masha Chachma had a comment that we know that the Gemara says that Ein Yeshiva Bazara El Malchus B'Yisdavir Bilvad, that only a king is allowed to sit in the Azara. And the Kedusha of this area where Kadosh Baruch Hu was speaking from, presumably that had a din like the Azara. And Moshe Rabbeinu apparently wanted to sit down. How do you know he wanted to sit down? Because he wanted to take his shoes off there. And the Gemara says, how do you know if a person is a zaken or not? That a zaken is somebody who has to sit down to take his shoes off. So here Moshe is already 80, so presumably he has to sit down to take his shoes off. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, no, don't come so close. First take your shoes off over there. So Moshe thought that he could take his shoes off by sitting down right in the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Meshech Chachma, that's because he thought he was like a king. A very pilpulish approach. But in any event, so the idea that he doesn't get it, he doesn't get to become the king, so the Torah Tzimim explains, means he's not able to be morish that role to his children, that even though he does become the leader of the Jewish people, but he doesn't have that type of melucha that he can pass on. But the idea that he can't have his shoes, so the Parish comments here, that draw from a place where you have to drive here, you have to draw your Kedusha from that location, so there can't be any interruption, there can't be any chatzitza. This is just like we find in the Beis HaMikdash, that you have to be standing directly without any interruption. The Kohanim would serve barefoot in order to draw their holiness from that makom, and that's a part of the message here as well. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, brachas and avsanach beis mit beis, that this is also the din in the Beis HaMikdash. That's like the Kohanim be there barefoot, but in shul it's okay to wear shoes. But the interesting thing is that we assume that actually you dafka have to wear shoes when you're davening. My daughter was asking me this recently, why is it that Moshe dafka had to take his shoes off to be in the holy place, and we are in shul when we're davening, we have to keep shoes on. So this is a discussion that Torah Tamima has here, where he knows how this is brought in halacha, and he tracks the fact that, so it starts off as a kula, that you don't have to take off your shoes in shul, but ideally you specifically have to wear shoes, so that's all based on minhag hamakom. It's all based on what is perceived as respectful. So if it was a culture in which taking off your shoes was specifically seen as respectful, so then we would take off our shoes for davening. But because we come from a culture where it's considered disrespectful to walk around barefoot, so then it became that outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we davka should wear shoes in the davening context. So the pasuk continues, "Vayomer Anochi Elokei Avicha, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Vayaseh Moshe Panav Ki Yorei Mehavet El Elokim." So Moshe is awestruck by what's happening, and he looks away here. Mar Maseches Brachos has a comment that there's somewhat of an irony here, because in Parshas Kisisa he's going to ask to see Hashem, and Hashem is not going to want. And he says, God says, when I wanted, you weren't interested here, you turned away, and now you want, and I don't want. So God says to him, "V'yomer Hashem, Ra'o Ra'isi, Es ani ami asher b'mitzrayim v'esakasim shemati b'nei nokshav ki yadayti es machovav. So I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard them cry out because of the slave masters, and I know their suffering. So this double language of Ro Ra'isi is an intensification. And there was a drush about this, Sefer Maskil L'Shlomo, which is the drushes of Shlomo Karbach, not the singer, the Rebbe originally from Chaim Berlin. He passed away not so long ago. He quotes the idea that Ra'o Ra'isi, I've seen them when they're good, and I've seen them also when they're bad. I've seen the Jewish people in their total context, and there's somewhat of a mussar to Moshe, that unlike Moshe, who gets distracted perhaps by qualities of the Jewish people that are not so impressive, God says, I'm able to see their totality. I can see them when they're good. I can see them when they're bad. And I redeem them because they are my people. I can see the whole picture. And that the fire doesn't have to consume the bush. You can have fire in the bush and it can coexist. The bad and the good can all be a part of the package. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu ran away at first from the Jews because he was afraid that they had spoken Lashon Hara about him. And Dasan Aviram said, you're going to kill us just like you killed the Mitzri. And he said, Achein Nodah Hadavar. And Chazal say that now I get it. I get why they're enslaved, because they speak Lashon Hara. This is the way they talk. So this notion that having kind of a very limited view and you only see the bad, you don't see the whole picture, so that's what gets in the way. And Akash Baruch was saying, I'm able to be the opposite of that. I'm able to see everything in its totality and to understand the whole picture, and I am going to redeem them, and this is the need that I need you to have as well. Ve'erei l'hasilo miyad Mizrayim, the Pasuk says, and I have come down to save them from the Egyptians, Uhalosum and Aretz Ahi, Eretz Tovar Chava, Eretz Zavas Chalav and Tvash, Amakoma Knani, Vachiti, Vamoipa, Rizi, Vachivi, Vusi, and take them to this great land, Eretz Zavas Chalav and Tvash. Gemara in Bechorah says the din here, that this is how you know that milk is mutter. That you maybe would have thought that milk should be prohibited because it's Yitzim in Asr, because it's a Eva Menachai, essentially, you have the animal that's not shechted, and how could you can't eat it like that? And now we have the milk that comes from that should be Yitzim and Asr, but we see it's not true because the Torah praises the land of Eretz Yisrael with being flowing with milk, so therefore it must be that it's something that's mutter. We wouldn't be praising the land with that otherwise. We had taught, you made Sakas, but in Israel, Boilai, the Gamra Isi, Asalachas, Hashem, Mitzrayim, Elochis, and Asam. And here the cries of the Jewish people have reached out to me and I've seen how they're suffering. We had taught, Lacha, Yashlachachel, Paro, the Hoteas, Ami, Bene Israel, Mitzrayim, go and take them out. This whole idea that I've seen their suffering is meant to convey that we know that they were supposed to be there for much longer, but because the Mitzvah were making them suffer to an even greater extent, so it had to be advanced, and they were taken out earlier. And the Pasuk says, V'yomer Moshe Elokim, Imi Anochi, Keilech El Paro, V'chi Otsi Es Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim. So, as Rashi explains, he has two separate questions here. He says, what's my zchus? That I should be the one to be able to take them out? And the second question, even if I was a person who had such zchus, V'chi Otsi Es Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim, is it so pasha that they should be able to come out? What's their zchus? So, on one hand, it's anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu is a part of the zchus. We know that this is the quality that is what makes him the great leader, that he has this introspection, and he has this question of whether he's really worthy or not. But in the next pasuk, we find that Kadosh Baruch Hu's answer, he says, Vayomer ki ayah imach v'zelucha os ki anochi shalachticha v'zelucha esam v'shayim t'avdunas elokim Al Chahar Hazeh. And God says, so I will be with you, and this is going to be the sign that I have sent you when you come to bring the people out, and they shall serve me on this mountain. So here, as Rashi says, he's answering both questions. He's saying that he's wondering who you are, don't worry, I will be with you, and I'm worthy, as Rashi quotes Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, I'm worthy of bringing them out. And as far as them, so that's what the rest of the pasuk is, that they are going to merit coming out, it's because they are going to receive the Torah. And that's the whole goal. Meir Tzvi Bergman, the Sefer Shari Ora, has a whole discussion here about this idea that there's Zocha now because of their future receiving of the Torah. So he associates this with the often quoted Hakdama, the Beis Halevi, to his Tshuvas, where Beis Halevi talks about the idea of whether we say Hazmana Milsahu, if you designate something for a certain status, does it take on that status right away? Or is it just only when you start using it for that purpose, does it have that status? Then is that the Gufa Kedusha, when something is actual holiness, so then just Hazmana, just setting it aside, gives it that status. So when it comes to Talmud Torah, he explains at great length there that Torah is Gufa Kedusha, so the Jews are designated for being imbued with holiness in the direct sense, so therefore there is already a Tzchus, there's already something that connects to them that makes them worthy of being removed from slavery. And the Shem Yishmuel quotes the Abnezer that also in terms of this focus, that when it comes to the four cups, so we're told we're not supposed to drink in between the third and the fourth cup. And the reason of that is because all the kosos parallel the four lashonas segula, the hosesi, vitzalti, vigaalti, vilakachti. So there can't be any break in between vigaalti and lakachti. They're redeemed, and they're redeemed so that they can be a nation for God. So that's what this pasuk is also telling us, that this chusda coming out is that so that ta'abduna salakim ahu arhazel, like we saw in the beginning of the Aliyah, this whole notion of connecting it to Choriv is to make that point. So the Yomer Moshe, Elokim, Hinei Anochi, Baal, Bnei Yisrael, Be'amarati Lehem, Elokei Abiseichem, Shalachani Lechem, Yirmeli, Mashmo, Ma'amar Lehem. So they're going to ask me, who is this God? So what should I say to them? So here there's this flow here of these last two psukim where God tells him one of his names. Be careful how you say this. Vayomer Elohim al Moshe, Eya Asher Eya. Vayomer Kos Amar al Bnei Yisrael, Eya Shlachani Lechem. Vayomer Od Elohim al Moshe, Kos Omer al Bnei Yisrael, Adonai Elohei Abiseichem, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, Shlachani Alechem, Zashmi Le'olam, Zazachri, Vador Vador. So God says that I am the one who will be with them. I am the one who will be. I will be what I will be. And Rashi says, it helps to convey here that I will be with them in this problem, and I will be with them also in future problems. So Moshe responds, why are we talking about future problems? Dayan Matsar Hazos, they have enough problems now. So let's just focus on that. And Rabbi Kamenetsky had a comment here that this is because the point we mentioned earlier, that really they should have been in Mitzrayim longer, but they're being brought out before the time. So there's going to have to be a consequence for that later. There's going to have to be some suffering, but still, it doesn't necessarily have to be conveyed to them. So not everything that's being said here is going to be related to the Jewish people, but this is also for Moshe Rabbeinu to understand. And this notion that I will be what I will be. So Rav Hirsch has a comment here that other things, they just have to be what they are. They have no control. They are just what they are. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu has complete ratzon. He can do whatever he wants. So he's expressing here that he will be what he wants to be, what he chooses to be, which is always consistent. So the eternality of God, but also the fact that he is completely free from any constraints, and that he has the ability to be what he chooses to be, but that also man has free will and is to follow in that path. So this notion of Bechira, that humanity can be great because they can choose, is a part of what is being conveyed here with this very powerful Shem Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu is being told also that that's the message that he has to internalize, and that he has the ability to become the greatest leader of the Jewish people, which indeed he does. And so much, even though this exchange is not finished yet at this point, but this Aliyah gives us so much of the foundation of what makes Moshe great, his ability to notice, to be aware, to pay attention, and to seek to understand more, to be modest, and that itself is connected, the recognition that you don't know everything and that there is more to learn and more to grow, and to be able to appreciate what that commission could be. So that is the first stirrings that we find here of the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we know that even though there's still a rocky road ahead, but that this is what's going to establish the character that is going to allow Moshe Rabbeinu to blossom into the greatest leader of the Jewish people. We should have a wonderful Shabbos. We should be inspired by everything that we read about Moshe in this week's Parsha, to be concerned for the people, to be able to share in the suffering, to recognize where there is a need, and to step up to the plate the way he does, and be able to achieve true godliness through all of these mitos of Moshe that we read about in the Sliya and throughout the Parsha, should be an inspiration to us. It should be able to grow to just like Moshe, and not have a psik between our names, and to realize our full potential. We should have a wonderful Shabbos.